we are going to talk about various tools of nonviolent conflict analysis, talking about pillars of support, SWOT analysis. Therein, I will talk more about spectrum of allies and tactical mapping. All those tools are part of the strategic estimate, which should be undertaken by nonviolent action takers in order to better understand the environment within which civil resistance is waged. They are extremely important and crucial instruments for nonviolent action takers to be effective in terms of their planning, organizing, and strategizing of nonviolent actions. Pillars of support is one of the main tools, I think, used to map or graphically represent the battlefield of nonviolent conflict. The graph of the pillars of support consists of a roof, supporting pillars, and fundaments on which the pillars, and also eventually the roof itself, rest. The roof signifies a small group of political elites that control the country. And no ruler or rulers can govern the country and govern it effectively without the support of the key groups represented by the pillars of support. They have various pillars of support, various segments of the society that maintains their grip on power. It could be bureaucracy, security establishment, could be religious and cultural elites, could be business community. All those pillars of support are important for the small group of elites to exercise their power. Now, the pillars of support, they are not only connected with the roof, they are connected also with the fundaments, fundaments that could be understood as population, which means that there is quite often a connection, a narrow social distance between the population and those pillars of support that civil resistance can use in order to bring those pillars of support on the side of the movement. But let's see how the logic of violent resistance plays in that picture of pillars of support. Violent resistors would usually try to physically destroy and eliminate the members that are part of that pillars of support. They would go after security services. They would try to threaten or kill business elites that are supporting the government. They would try to eliminate bureaucracy that is responsible for implementing orders of the regime. By eliminating those pillars of support, they would hope then to reach to the leadership, eliminate the leadership and take over power. Now, with that logic of violently taking on the existing pillars of support, this logic, more often than not, leads to the consolidation of those pillars of support. At the same time, the regime would use violent methods to repress the violent resistors, oftentimes justifying those violent methods by the fact that the challenger is using violence as well, with terrible consequences for the population. With the shifts occurring within those pillars of support, the control of the political elites over the country becomes tenuous. And sooner or later, the political elites would face with the dilemma of either addressing the demands of the civil resistors or losing completely control over the country. In that sense, the pillars of support, I think it's an extremely simple but at the same time useful illustration of how civil resistance is waged.